Big Web Show, episode number 91. I'm your host, Jeffrey Zeldman, and my guests today are Tina and Ryan Essmaker. First, a thank you to our sponsor. Today's show is brought to you by A List Apart, the magazine for people who make websites. Online since 1998, A List Apart explores the design, development, and meaning of web content with a special focus on web standards and best practices. If you go to alistapart.com right now, you'll be able to read about in-browser mockups with Node.js, why you can't do everything as a entrepreneur of your own business, the W3C embracing DRM for some unknown and hellish reason, research tips for designers and developers, and lots more. That's alistapart.com. For all your A List Apart needs. Thank you, A List Apart. And with that, hello, Tina, Ryan, welcome.
Hello.
Hello, thanks for having us.
You guys, your claim to fame, I guess, one of your claims to fame is that you have a website called The Great Discontent, which is a weekly published whenever you feel like it. How does it work?
Every Tuesday. Occasionally we'll take a week off, but it's pretty consistent.
Like Christmas week, you might do.
Yeah. That.
Okay. But basically, and it's an interview site. It was one of the first responsive sites that I saw and one of the most beautiful responsive sites I've seen. Huge photographs of people being interviewed, and they're not only internet people, they're all kinds of people, right? Ballerinas and rocket scientists and seriously, like if a 3-year-old were to dream up who they'd want interviewed, you probably interviewed that person.
Yeah. I mean, we explore like just all aspects of creativity in general. A lot of the people that we interview are in the design or tech fields. And that's a large part of our audience, but we interview musicians and artists and, you know, photographers, entrepreneurs, you know, the whole gamut.
Right now there's two dudes and it looks, and it says fight. It looks like it says failed, but I think it might be fire. It might be the Irish word, which means have a nice day. That looks like fail with an E in the end.
It's fail. They're an urban art duo from, Brooklyn, based in Brooklyn.
Oh, they make this lovely picture of a ballerina being licked by wolves in police.
Yeah, that's actually for their most recent collaboration with the New York City Ballet.
This was client work.
It was a commission, I believe, that they took on, yeah.
So New York City is using this as a poster all over and I just haven't seen it yet? Or this is going to be in a special, you don't know.
It's actually for an upcoming performance with the New York City Ballet. So I believe those images will be used at the performance.
And before we talk about like how you find the people that you find and all that, how did you get the idea to do this site?
Well, I mean, it goes back several years, actually. Tina and I have been married for almost 7 years. And wow. Even before
which
that,
which is like half your lives.
Yeah.
Because listeners can't see, but these are young people.
We look a little younger
than
we are.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
But we had talked even before we got married about doing a magazine that explored creativity. And, you know, we kind of like put it off year after year, you know, like thought we were too busy to do it. Eventually we, you know, got over our excuses and stuff and decided to focus, you know, on just creativity and risk and interviewing artists that we look up to.
How did it start? Did you accidentally interview somebody? Did one of you do this in college? Like was one of you a journalism major or something?
No, Tina's always written a lot. And I had, my own little web shop, you know, prior to doing this.
In Iowa? Wisconsin? Where were you?
We were in Michigan.
Michigan. I know,
yeah,
Michigan
small
very
town
well.
Michigan, yep.
What part of Michigan?
Port Huron. It's about 45 minutes, like, northeast of Detroit, up toward the thumb of Michigan.
Elmore Leonard writes about Port Huron. I've never been there. It's way north, right? by Canada? Above Canada?
No, I mean, Canada's right across the river. It's like a border town. So there's the Blue Water Bridges. Now there's two of them that go over to Canada. So it's, you know, we're very familiar with Canada, but it's not like far up in Michigan. It's like pretty close to Detroit.
How did you meet and fall in love?
That's a big question.
Yeah, we had a groups. We had a group of mutual friends, and that all hung out together. And yeah, I mean, just kind of met through that. And we actually started emailing back and forth for a long time before we started like dating. So we got to know each other just via conversation.
Emailing, even though you were in the same town.
Yeah, we were talking about stuff that we were working on together in town. So it was kind of like started as a conversation to help out with something. And then we started talking about like larger stuff, you know, bigger like dreams and aspirations and stuff that we were into and really connected like that. Mm-hmm.
Tina, you were working with kids before you got into the web, right?
Yes, I was. At 18, I began working at a shelter for runaway and homeless youth. And so then I decided to major in social work in college. I went to Wayne State University in Detroit, got a bachelor's in social work, and worked a total of 12 years with the same agency working with runaway and homeless youth in Port Huron.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it hard to stop that?
It was. I think I was ready to explore something new, though. So it was tough to leave, but I guess it was kind of bittersweet. You know, closing one chapter and then opening, you know, a door to more creative work, which I had been itching to do for a while.
And you guys, you were still doing that, and Ryan had his startup small design studio mm-hmm. at the beginning of your relationship. Mm-hmm. But now you work together all the time. You guys have two, maybe three jobs together, right? You have the website we're talking about, The Great Discontent, which I've got to say, and people who love design, and I mean, the content is the most important thing, of course, but for people who love design and love responsive design, just what's watching the type resize separately from the photo as you drag it on this week's, just to watch fail, like crop out and then crop back in. I mean, it's so cinematic, and it reminds me of what people used to love about Flash. It's organic and it's HTML, so, and it's farm to table, so that's good. So okay, so you guys work together on thegreatdiscontent.com. You also work at Crush and Lovely.
Yes.
Is that Crush Plus Lovely, Crush Ampersand Lovely, Crush A&D Lovely?
It's Crush and Lovely. We're actually working on a rebrand right now to kind of make it a little bit more clear like that. Because a lot of people do pronounce it just Crush Lovely or Crush Plus Lovely, but it's Crush and Lovely.
But it's Crush and Lovely, but it's visually done with a plus.
Yes, with a plus.
Yeah. Are you guys co-founders of that? Are you employees of that?
No, we're employees of Crush and Lovely. I've worked there over this past year as creative director, and I've recently kind of moved on from that and starting up like a products division at Crush.
That's
which
amazing.
I wound up being a partner in.
We'll want to hear about that. And Tina, you run community? You're the community director?
I'm the community manager, and I joined the team probably mid-February doing community management part-time and just really, you know, helping Crush to have a louder voice in the community.
So prior to that, you did a lot of copywriting for us.
Yeah. And I've done a lot of freelance copywriting, and I've done a lot of copy work for Crush and Lovely as well. So I already, you know, knew the culture and the people and loved the team. So it was a great match.
So you work together in those jobs, and then you have your own parent company for The Great Discontent so that you can do other projects under your own umbrella. When you got together, originally, you were not working together.
No.
And you were living in Michigan.
Yep.
Yes.
And now you're living in Manhattan and living together and working together and then working at your other job together at night. How do you make that work?
I mean, we intentionally have to, you know, make sure we have our own, like, alone time or time apart because, you know, sometimes it can get to be a little bit too much. And we're both, I think, generally introverted. Mm-hmm. So we have to, you know, make a point to like, okay, I'm going to go hang out with friends tonight and you get to have the apartment to yourself, or, you know, vice versa, just so we can kind of have that time to recharge. And, you know, I mean, it's just needed.
You say you're introverted, but, and I believe you, and I am too, but it's interesting because I have an interview show and you guys have an interview website, and I wonder, it's not really a contradiction. It almost seems like it's a way for introverted people to reach out of their shell in a safe environment that they design and control themselves, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think for me, part of it too, is that I do love people and I love being around people, but I enjoy, I guess, more intimate settings where it's a small group of people or it's one person and I can really connect with them on a deep level versus having a really large group of people and I'm just, you know, having some surface level conversation with everyone.
Yeah. And I'm the same way with that. Like I love, you know, going out to dinner and drinks with people and just having, you know, conversations like that, or, you know, like this setting where we're just talking to each other, smaller groups. But like large groups of people wear me out.
But I just spoke at Adobe Max and I planned it so that I would be able to attend the big closing party with the Black Keys, and I didn't go because I didn't want to be around all those people. I'd been like very active that day and done a lot of things. I was like, now I have to go get a massage and lie down somewhere and recharge.
Yeah. I definitely recharge by being alone and having time to think versus being around people.
Yeah.
Creative projects recharge you too. Don't you find?
Yes.
Yeah, I find the more stuff that, at least for me, that I'm doing that I'm enjoying, like, the less worn out I get, even, like, with people.
Yeah. Like, travel can wear you out. And unpleasant meetings or difficult meetings can wear you out. Mm-hmm. But, like, I see when my kid comes home from school, she wants to draw. She's tired from the school week, but she wants to draw. It's, like, it's natural to recharge your battery by having a little private space and being creative, I think.
Yeah, totally.
Yes.
You guys are historians in a way, or you're creating a historical record in a way of our time, not to make it sound too big, like other people are doing that too, but you're like, you know, Time Magazine might be doing it too, but they're a big corporate thingy and you're you guys are independent content producers. Mm-hmm. You picked the web because...
I mean, originally we wanted to do it as a print magazine. Like I said, several years ago when we talked about doing something like this, it was like, oh, we want to do a printed magazine. And, you know, I think all of us that are like designers and stuff love like printed things. Mm-hmm. But like once we actually got down to making it, it was like, well, it's going to be easier to distribute stuff like this online. That's what I know. I'm a web designer, developer. So let's put it on the website. We'll be able to reach a larger audience. It won't cost as much other than our time. Just kind of see where it goes from there. And, you know, intentionally with the design, I wanted to bring in some of the, you know, what I liked about print, into
sure.
the web and,
huge, huge impactful. It's kind of like an Ogilvy ad or like a Vanity Fair spread or something.
Yeah.
You could certainly release, books mm-hmm. every 50, how many interviews have you done now? 100, 200?
Right. I think this week was our 84th issue.
83 or 84.
That's amazing. Okay. That's amazing. and this show is 91, but I've been doing this for years. So you guys are catching up.
To you.
You're catching up and we'll, yeah, I'm going to be, that'll be sad. I mean, happy for you, sad for me, but, there'd be nothing wrong with taking your 100 of these and or ebooks. There are ways to like grab all this HTML and spit it out as an ebook every 20 or 30. You think about that just for fun?
Definitely. I mean, like I've always wanted to do like a you know like a yearly anthology or whatever of you know like all the content. And, you know, have like books or whatever, or like two fancy magazines or volumes or whatever that have all the interviews. So that's something that we've definitely talked about. It's just kind of figuring out the logistics behind it. And just like, if we do something like that, we want it to be just really beautiful and like, you know, like top notch. So I know it's going to take a lot of time to lay that out, and also, you know, the money or the backing to make it how we would want it to be.
Sure.
You've had, it's definitely on the roadmap, I think.
How do you, I mean, I'm looking at this. It's amazing who you've interviewed. If one goes to thegreatdiscontent.com/archive, really amazing people. How do you pick them?
Answer that.
Sure. So, often it's people who we've followed, we've connected with their work in some way. We've looked up to them over the years, people that we would, you know, just love to pick their brain and hear about their story and kind of like dive deeper into what they do. So, you know, other times it's word of mouth. Someone we've interviewed will say, you should interview so-and-so. I think you have a really great story. Other times it's readers who write and suggest people to interview. So it's kind of a mixture.
So you interview Tina Roth Eisenberg and she says, you know, you guys should really interview Anna Wolf. She's fantastic. I like that. Or you interview Dan Cederholm and he says, you guys should stop because you've got interviewed me and there's really nowhere else to go.
Well, we were going to stop after we interviewed Jeffrey Zeldman, but.
Well, I was some special number, right? I think I was like the first year. Was that right?
Yeah.
It was the anniversary post, wasn't it? It was. Let's find it here.
It was. It's easy to find because you've got a really nice archive system.
Yeah, you were the end of our first year.
I was the end. I was the end of the first year. That's
the
cool.
The culmination of our first year.
One of the things that you do that's interesting that shouldn't work at all but does is that you ask certain – there's almost a ritual to it. You mm-hmm. ask some of the same – you ask the same questions of every interviewee.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Starting there, why?
Why?
I think for. Sorry.
I'll answer next. I just, for me, it's like, it's kind of like what you said, it's like doing research. It's like asking the same questions, the same types of people, and like really diving into what makes like artists and people that make things tick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and I mean, we've often talked like how we might expand the questions and see if there's anything that more that we'd want to ask and like dive into. And we haven't really come up with anything else yet. So
yeah,
it's just kind of like something that we set up and it's worked really, really well. And it's enabled us to kind of like flow through, you know, people's stories in a ritualistic way that just seems to work for us.
But you don't, I should point out to readers and listeners, you don't dial this in at all. It's not like you send a form. It's not like you email people and send them these questions. You mm-hmm. go where they are. You photograph them. You meet with them. You talk about all kinds of other stuff in between and around these questions.
Yes.
Which is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, we definitely don't go the email route. We tried that with one interview and it just didn't have the same kind of personality as you know, either a one-on-one or like an audio interview had. We try to, like, if we can't meet with the person, you know, at their space or wherever, we'll do like Skype video interviews basically, or audio if that's all we can do. But we try for video so you get like body language and stuff like that and just can kind of steer the conversation in the right way.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to do a tour? You guys should totally go around the world.
We would love to.
Interviewing amazing people, continent after continent, great city after great city. That would be fantastic. A week in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
We would definitely love to. Thought about it.
Okay. So then this is a Kickstarter project that our listeners could start.
Could be.
What would the funding be?
I can't even imagine.
I can't either. Well, let's see.
let's call up our accountant.
All right. And of course, you can't really do that because you have your other job at Crush and Lovely. Crush and Lovely, I know, as a filmmaking company. They make really beautiful films on the web, but it's more than that, right?
Yeah, they're a digital like boutique agency, and they had done some video work in the past, and it wasn't until this past fall that they got into actual like production from a video standpoint. So Nathan kind of started up that division and, you know, is really focusing on it. So I think that's how maybe you know more. So
yeah, I think that's how people are actually talk about and think about Crush and Lovely, at least the people that I know. They're like, oh yeah, those guys make great films.
Yeah, because one of the things, I mean, like, that they were known for in the past was the 50 People, One Question series. So, like, that's actually how I came to know them. Was through that series, and I think with Gina Bolton working there for a while, like, I followed her work.
Oh, yeah.
So she worked there for a while, and then it was the 50 People, One Question series that caught my eyes, you know, like, years ago.
Wow. Okay, so you guys, when you moved to... I keep wanting to say move to Brooklyn, but you didn't. You actually moved to Manhattan, which is cool. I live in Manhattan, too. There's so few of us left.
I know. Trying to start a new movement, but we're not having a whole lot of luck.
Well, actually, rents in Brooklyn are now higher than rents in Manhattan. So
interesting.
Yeah, so there's that. So what is this products division at the company? What exactly... Are you going to make, like, stuffed animals or chaps, jeans?
Well, we thought about chaps and jeans and, you know, stuffed animals, but we decided to go the digital route. So we're working on, you know, web apps, that kind of thing initially. Some ideas coming out of, like, what we're doing with TGD and just stuff that we're interested in. So we got a couple of things in progress right now, just kind of in the initial stages. That we hope to be launching at least one over this summer. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Okay. More details, please.
I can't say anything yet.
Oh, that's tough. Okay.
I really wish I could talk about it, but we can't right now just because it's the stage it's in. So
is it all digital stuff or it's stuff I might walk around town with or have in my home?
It's all digital stuff.
Okay. Yeah, then you can't talk about it because six other people will try to beat you to the punch. Okay. And so what's a typical work day like for each of you?
Well, we get up. I hit snooze several times. and we each have our own morning routine, which I think is a really important part of us working together, is that we do keep our own routine. So we each kind of, and we're not morning people, so we go straight to the kitchen and one of us makes coffee, and then we have our coffee and we get ready and we have our own commute to work. So Ryan walks because he loves walking. I usually take the train because I'm often running late and just need to get there quickly.
Where isn't the office near you?
It's in Little Italy.
Okay. And you live in East Village?
No, we were in East Village. We're in, like, Chelsea, Greenwich Village right now.
Oh, okay. That's a nice part of town.
Yeah, we like it a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a walk. Like, it's probably about a half hour or so, but I really enjoy it.
Yeah. That east-west walk is always, for people who aren't familiar with New York, I mean, walking north and south, it's just like everything's very close together. And especially on the west side, the blocks are farther apart. The avenues are farther apart.
Yeah.
So it gives you time to reflect. Are you near? You're near the, obviously you're near the High Line and
yes,
Clement Moore Park, or is that further north?
I'm not familiar with that yet. We just moved. It was not even a couple months ago, so we haven't had too much time to get out and explore. But
we're still discovering the area.
That's where you are now.
Yes. Yeah.
And you have your own studio there.
We have an apartment here. We work out of the apartment sometimes, but this studio, basically everything is just out of Little Italy with Crush and Lovely.
Okay. How big is Crush and Lovely now?
We are 12 now.
And how big is it going to get?
This year, I mean, we have a few positions open right now, with a couple developer positions and...
Project manager.
Yeah, project manager. So we'll probably get to at least 15 this year. Probably more.
So people in the New York area are thinking of moving to New York who like to eat, who want to go to a Little Italy. I used to work at a Soho-based agency, and it was at the western edge of Soho where it meets Little Italy, and So it was bad for me, but I enjoyed it. Cool. So what's next for The Great Discontent?
We're just going to continue to... you know, explore what we're doing, expand on it, producing, you know, more high quality content.
Have you ever thought about monetizing it in some way?
Well, we do to a certain degree. We have sponsorships for each one of the interviews. So we do bring in some money to the site. But
what about conceptually? Have you ever thought about a firewall? Some of the stuff being paid content, and other being free. And
we've considered it, and you know, we're always trying to think of ways to kind of improve the business model behind it, so we can focus more time on it. But I guess one of the things, like the core content on the site, we never really wanted to hide behind a paywall, just because we feel like it's something that everyone should have access to, you know, especially young people kind of starting out and, you know, that want to do something artistic or, you know, creative in a professional way.
That makes sense. They're your readers primarily?
I think, you know, a lot of people that write in are, I mean, really it's young and old, but I mean, like people that just like, maybe they've just struggled with, you know, kind of taking the leap and pursuing the things that they're really passionate about. Those are the kind of people that I think have latched onto the content because it, you know, everyone that we interview, I think, you know, like after you read it, you feel like they're a lot more human, a lot more like you, you know, and they all have similar stories. And so I know it's encouraging to people to, you know, to pursue the things that they enjoy and love to do. They go, well, if they did it, then, you know, I can do it too.
That's, I would say, the biggest takeaway from your site, right? If it teaches one thing, it's that you can do it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And obviously you guys believe that because you left Port Huron. Not that there's anything wrong with Port Huron, but like you came to New York and are making your way and are publishers and writers, designers. That's pretty, pretty awesome stuff. Have you thought about doing meetups for the Great Discontent fans? Or do you do that?
We haven't thought about it specifically. That would actually be kind of fun.
I mean, we don't do that right now. We get a lot of mail or email. We get actually real mail, snail mail as well from our readers. And then we always love getting packages in the mail. It's super awesome.
Really? You get like letters with stamps on them and stuff?
We get letters. People have sent us their books that they've published. We had someone recently send us a CD that he made. He said that reading the site inspired him to pick his guitar back up. And so he made a CD and he sent it to us. And it was good. And we
goodness it was good.
Yeah. Goodness, right? And then we get, you know, emails from people as well. So I totally forgot where I was going with that.
Oh, we're talking about meetups.
Oh, meetups. Yeah, people have emailed and requested, like, you know, can you guys please do a conference or are you going to put on events? So I think there's definitely people that are interested in attending those kinds of things. So it's probably on the roadmap for the future.
Mm-hmm. And you could certainly get a sponsor for that. In fact, I can think of two or three that would be very willing to talk to you. So cool.
Yeah. Well, we're talking with the crew at Brooklyn Beta too about kind of doing some stuff over this next year. As far as like an event type thing, you know, like, and tying into what they're doing. So
make it a cruise.
We could just go across the East River.
Yeah.
Just back and forth.
A cruise. Yeah. On the Circle Line. I think it would be great.
But I think that'll be super cool. So, I mean, there'll be some event stuff this year. Especially like, I don't know if you had seen what we had done, later last year, but we shot a bunch of video interviews at Brooklyn Beta. And we've been kind of going through the editing process and trying to decide what to do with it. So, and we're going to do some sort of event this year revolving around that content that we shot.
Yeah. How did you do those interviews? You had the same kind of formal approach to those as well, right? Didn't you ask people the same questions?
Yeah, we did three questions. So it was like a 2 minutes with TGD, thing that we call, that's kind of what we coined it.
So you guys, you have such, brand thinking. You could be like doing this for TV.
It'd be fun.
Yeah.
Current. Right? Vice President Al Gore's network. Mm-hmm. This seems like the kind of show. Not that you need to be on TV for it to be real. The web's plenty real. But just thinking where else you might go, because there's always more and you have a really strong thing. Well, thank you for your time today. This has been awesome, and the time flew by. And we still have to have that breakfast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to do that. So now I'm getting this commitment on audio.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
And thank you so much.
Okay. Pleasure. Be well, you guys. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody.